couple weeks ago, we began a series. We took a week off for Mother's Day, and we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman. But 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we talked about, began a series called Power, and we talked about the unlimited power of God. So today, we're going to continue down that path and talk about the power of God as seen in Jesus Christ. So if you'll bow your heads with me in a word of prayer, we'll go ahead and jump into that today. Father God, Lord, we praise you for all the things that you have blessed us with. We praise you for, first and foremost, for the blessing, the gift that is Jesus, that we, that because you sent your son, because you spent time away from your son, because you spent time directing and giving power and authority to your son and in order that he could live a sinless, perfect life and go to the cross, and because you were willing to watch him in all of that agony at the crucifixion, and because by your power, you were able to raise him from the dead victorious on Sunday morning, the third day. Lord, because of your willingness to endure the pain of watching your son suffer, we can have forgiveness. We can have access to you. We can have new life. We can know that on the other side of this life, we have eternity with you in heaven because of what you chose to do by sending Jesus to come and die a sinner's death in our place. So Lord, thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us in this. Thank you for families. Thank you for children. Thank you for the beautiful responsibility of raising them to know you, raising them and training them up in the faith. So Lord, now I pray that as we crack open your word and spend some time talking about your power as seen through your son, Lord, we ask that you will guide us by your spirit, that the Holy Spirit will be present in all that we do and say, and then ultimately all glory and honor goes to the name of Jesus alone. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we talk about power, it's interesting to me that sometimes we don't quite understand the power that we have and the power that we have accessible to us through Jesus and through God. If you were here when we started this series, let me just kind of cue you in on some of the things that we talked about. We talked about the unlimited power of God. The unlimited, the limitless, the cannot be contained, the cannot be harnessed power of God in all of creation and in all of our lives. See, all things created by, through, and for Jesus Christ. See, we live in our world. What do we see? We see limited power. God created the world and God set it in motion, but he didn't step back. He's still here. He's still involved, but God set the world in motion and he kind of gave out some power throughout creation. So he gave power to nature. He gave power to storms. He gave power to earthquakes and tornadoes. He gave power to animals. He gave power to the mighty beasts, to the lion, to the wild boar. He gave power to creation. He gave power to Satan. We read about in the book of Job, we read that this Satan character in the book of Job is given some power. Given some power in creation, given some power and some influences that he can have on our lives, but God is always holding him tight on a tight leash. God has given some power to Satan in the power of sin and death and the power of evil. They're allowed to have some power. We're allowed to have some power, right? There are some things that you and I can do. We can have power. I have physical strength, right? I can choose to go out there and cut a tree down and cut it into sections and break it into firewood. I can choose to put my physical strength towards something. I can choose to look at a situation and physically make a change to that situation. I can make something change. I have the power to fight, or I have the power to not fight. I have the power to defend my family physically. I have the power to do that. I have the power to do both good and I have the power to do harm. There are things that I can do. I can decide if I want to be a good, positive force in the world, or I can choose to be a negative, evil force in the world. God's given us the power to do that. But the power is limited. There are only so many things that we can do. There are limitations to what we can do. And here's my definition, my working definition for you. If you take notes, write things down. My working definition for power is the ability to do things by virtue of strength, skill, resources, or authorization. Okay? It's power. Power is the ability to do things by virtue of strength, skill, resources, or authorization. So God has given us power. He's given us some strength. He's given us some skill. He's given us some resources. He's given you and me some authorization to have some ability to do things in life, some ability to evoke change in life, some ability to decide what happens when, to the ability to be a nice guy or a mean guy, right? Like, he's given us the power to some degree over our life. He's given you the power to decide if you're going to follow Jesus or follow the devil, right? He's given you the power to live the life of obedience, behaviorally, morally, and obediently following what God teaches in his word, or not to. You have the power to do that. You get to decide. God's given you that power. In the life of Jesus, we like to talk about Jesus. I don't know if you ever thought this through. I say this different times, that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. So Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus was God in the flesh. It's the whole Trinity thing. It's really kind of, it can be mind-boggling if you study the Trinity. It's like God in three persons, but God as one. So Jesus had all the power of God, but yet he was also a man. So if he had the power over his decisions, but his power was given to him by God. He had authorization by God. He's always praying, asking God to guide him. But when I think about our lives and the power that we have in our lives, to kind of bring this kind of home as we kind of get at the beginning down this journey, is I think of 1 Corinthians 10:13. How many of you are familiar with the verse, "There's no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. When we walk around and we just leave that there and we think, God's not going to tempt me beyond what I can handle. But have you ever continued to read that verse? Have you ever seen what happens? Because see, as Christians, we believe in God's power to save us. We believe in God's power to get us into heaven. We believe in God's power that when we pass away, he's gonna make sure that we step into the pearly gates, right? He's gonna make sure that Peter welcomes us in. We believe in God's power to save our souls. We believe in the power of the cross. We believe in the blood of the cross. But sometimes we make a mistake and we forget, or we don't realize, or we choose not to. We choose to ignore. We choose to stay practical and rational and not allow God's power to be in the here and now. Not allow God's power to access God's power to change our situation. Not allow God's power to impact the trial, right? Or impact the temptation, right? And instead we just think, well, God's not gonna let me face something that I've not got the ability to overcome. But if you continue reading that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Translation, as a follower of Christ, you have the power to overcome any temptation or trial that comes your way, not because of you, not because of your 10 steps, but because of your surrendering to God in the name of Jesus Christ and accessing the power and say, Lord, I don't have what it takes to overcome this. I need you to move in this. I need you to show me the way of escape. I need you to give me the strength to overcome this. I need to access the power of Jesus and his authority in this situation to know that God and Jesus ultimately have all power over creation, the creation that they made. They get to decide when it stops. They get to decide how it spins. They get to decide what happens in the situation. They get to decide what trials come your way, because while Satan is throwing flaming darts in your direction and you're supposed to put up your shield of faith, ultimately, by the power of God as seen in Jesus Christ, you can say, Lord Jesus, in your name, give me strength. In your name, give me victory. In your name, heal this. Now you're thinking about your life. You're thinking about your trials. You're thinking about your temptations. You're thinking about that thing that you can't get rid of in your life. You're thinking about that struggle that no matter how many times you face it and pray about it, it's like, well, I know I'm forgiven, but this is just my cross to bear. I can't ever have victory in this area. Well, you might be able to say that, but that might be a lie from the devil, because that's not what my Bible says, right? My Bible says that we have access to the power of God today. My Bible says that you can have victory over everything because Jesus was victorious over death and sin and hell and evil. And you don't have to roll over and play dead and say, ah, spiritual warfare, the angels will take care of that, but I'm just going to sit here in my mess, right? So we have access, but so often we don't choose to access it, and we don't choose to believe. We don't choose to believe that God can change, because God is powerful. Because even though I have limit, I can't make the trial go away. I can't make the disease go away. I can't make the mistake go away. I can't make the repercussions go away. But by God's power, I can still have victory. I can still have relief today. I can still escape today. I can still endure today, no matter what it may be. And the Bible teaches us to believe in that power that we have. Now, I don't know, as we think about Jesus and we think about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we think about the book of Acts, the four accounts of Jesus' life, and then the book of Acts is the account of the apostles starting a new church. So this is the early church 2,000 years ago. If you spend time really looking at this and understanding what's happening, you cannot read. Okay, so Jesus is crucified on Friday, and on Sunday he resurrects. And he, for the next 40 days, he walks with his disciples, he appears before his disciples and 500 witnesses, and then all of these people see him ascend into heaven. And right before he does that, at the beginning of the book of Acts, he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you power. I'm going to send you power. And what's cool about this is, with the Holy Spirit and Jesus also being in the Trinity with God the Father, we saw a couple weeks ago, there's actually a scripture where Jesus actually refers to God himself as power. He says, I am going to go to heaven and I'm going to sit at the right hand of power. Okay, so I'm going to go sit beside the guy who can change everything. I'm going to sit beside the guy who can reach down and he can change anything you need him to change. The guy that if he wanted to, he can throw a breeze through here and wipe the snot off your nose, right? He's the guy that can do anything in any situation. I'm going to go sit at the hand of power. I'm going to go sit there beside the Father who can look down and pinpoint and know what's happening in your body, exactly the struggle, exactly the illness, exactly the injury, and mend it. See, in America, we don't do a great job at accessing God's power. We believe in God's power for salvation. We believe in God's power for eternity. But sometimes we don't believe in God's power because we want God to fit in this nice little box. But you can't really study the book of Acts without seeing God's power, without seeing how amazing God is. And they're doing these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name, John 14:13. We pray in Jesus' name. And the apostles are going around and they're frequently bearing witness to the power of Christ, which is the power of God the Father showing itself, manifesting itself in Christ. So in the book of Acts, where Peter was preaching about the gospel being available to everyone, to Jews and Gentiles alike, he said this in Acts 10:38. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And see that? It says Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So Jesus had power because the Holy Spirit was living in him. Jesus had power because he was 100% God, 100% man. And they go, he went around doing good and went around healing those who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And if this is the same God who saved us, this is the same God who lives in us, this is the same God who is healing and fixing things and planting churches and saving souls all over the Middle East, all over the world, and you have that same God living in you, and yet so often we're like, I don't want to access that. It doesn't fit in my box. It doesn't fit in my box. See, we don't accept it. We do not access the power so often. But God's power is alive in Jesus, and God's power is alive in us, active, moving, and breathing. Let me show you just a couple things, some things of how Jesus, how the power of God is seen in Jesus. If you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you hear story after story of these miracles that Jesus is performing to show that he has power, to show that he is God, to show that he is deity, to show that he is the Messiah, that he is does have the power to save our souls, does have the power to go to the cross for us, does have the power to save souls. So the power of God as seen through Jesus Christ in his miracles. Jesus performed miracles by showing he had power over nature. His very first miracle was turning water into wine at a wedding festival. He had the power to look at that water and pour it in, and it became wine. The power of God is seen in Jesus when Jesus is sleeping in the boat and the storm is getting so bad that the disciples don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do. They think that they're all going to die, and they wake him up, and Jesus says, what's the big deal, guys? Calm down. And he just says, and the storm is gone. The power of God seen in Jesus is calming the storm and showing that he has the power over nature. That storm had power, but that storm was limited. That storm only had power until God stepped in and said, no, you no longer have power. You can't do it anymore. I'm changing the story. It's the same thing when Jesus is feeding 5,000 with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and Jesus walking on water. When's the last time you went for a stroll on water? I mean, you go get you some big honking like snowshoes, right? Go get you some. You still can't walk on water, can you? I tried water ski one time. I can't even walk on water whenever the boat's trying to take me up. You can test me sometime. I couldn't do it. Maybe someday. But walking on water, a fish in a coin, a huge catch of fish. When Jesus said, just fish on the other side of the boat, a huge catch of fish. These are all examples of God's power being manifested in Jesus. This is Jesus showing us and showing the people of that day, I have power, I have God in me, I am God incarnate, I am the Messiah. And sometimes we still just don't get it. We still just don't accept it. We still just deny it. We still just rationalize against it. And in Matthew, this is interesting to me. In Matthew 11:20, Jesus is going around. Jesus is performing miracles. These people are hearing about these. They're seeing these. And Jesus said, it says in Matthew 11:20, then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done just because they did not repent. They're seeing it. They're hearing about it. It's happening. And Jesus publicly declares that these cities are wrong, they are evil, and he actually goes on to say that had I done these things in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. Hey, I just want you to know, I'm denouncing you because I've performed miracles in your sight, in your city, and you still don't believe that I am God, that I have the power to do that. You're still like, meh. I just want you know that city you guys like to talk about that was so awful that, you know, right? If they'd have seen this, they'd have repented. What a slam, right? Right? But he publicly declares they are wrong and they are evil. And he continues to go around and the apostles are starting churches and they're saving souls in the name of Jesus as they preach in the name of Jesus. In Acts 2:22, whenever Peter proclaims for the first time at Pentecost, he stands up and with the power of the Holy Spirit out their head just fallen on him, he stands up and proclaims at Pentecost where 3,000 get saved. One of the things that he made sure to say is in Acts 2:22, he says, "Men of Israel, hear my words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst." He wanted them to see, he wanted them to understand, hey, this man was attested to you by God. He was sent to you by God. God sent him as an example. He sent him to show you through his mighty works and through his wonders and through his signs that he is God. It is the power of God has shown itself through this man. And I want you guys to know he came to show you, to save you. It's like that example of saying, hey, listen, when's the last time someone else did this? Why do you not believe? When's the last time that this has happened? Hey, where are you at with this, right? How many times does he have to do this before you believe? We see this in the power of God seen in Jesus through his healings and his exorcisms. We see him healing a man with leprosy. We see him healing people that he's not even with. He said, oh yeah, heal that person. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals two men possessed with demons. He heals a woman who has been bleeding. For years, she's been bleeding. She cannot get relief, and she crawls through the crowd and touches the fringe of Jesus' garments, and she's healed instantly. And Jesus says, and all the crowd sought to touch him, and Jesus said, power came out of him and healed them all. Power came out of him and healed them all. The power of God in healing, the power of God in miracles, the power of God in exorcisms, all flowing through Jesus Christ. And most supremely, of course, we have to see that the power of God is shown through Jesus Christ supremely in his resurrection. You think about this, right? The power of God in Jesus in his resurrection. In John 10:18, it says, no one takes it from me. This is Jesus. Jesus says, no one takes it from me. I love this verse because you say, wow, Jesus was God. Jesus came. Jesus is supposed to go to the cross. But yet Jesus had power. Jesus had authority. Jesus had the power to make decisions. And it says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This is a command I received from my Father. This is a command I received from my Father. This is Jesus saying, my Father sent me here. My Father commanded that I lay my life down for you guys. But I want you to know that my Father has also given me enough power and enough authority to say, you know what? I don't want to do this. I'm going home. But he loved you enough that even though he had the power to take his life back up, even though he had the power to say, that looks like it's gonna hurt pretty bad, I'm not interested, he chose to lay his life down for us. His power is shown supremely in his act of going to the cross and his act of being victorious over sin and death. When he comes at the end of times in Revelation, it says he will come. He will come from the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And here's the beauty of this all. As we look at our lives, we look at who we are, we look at what we struggle with. That same power, whenever you accept Jesus, that's the beauty of this, right? What do we tell our kids? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? When you do that, you now have that same power, the same power that stood up in a boat and stuck his hand out at a storm and it stopped. The same power that looked at that mighty beast, the lion, and shut its mouth so Daniel could hang out in the lion's den all night. The same power that fed 5,000, the same power that allowed Jesus to walk in the water, and the same power that allowed Jesus to conquer sin and death and hell and evil. That same power lives in us. That same power is the same power that is saving your soul. That same power that can get you across the cavern from this life to the next, and you go to heaven instead of hell. That same power that saves you is the power that lives in you. And as believers, we don't have to just say, oh, I'm saved, I got power on that day, and I'll have power when I die. No, that same power as believers can be accessed. We can experience that transforming power of that new life here and now. That new life in the Spirit that frees us from the power of sin. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, the Apostle Paul is talking about a sentence of death that he thought he was receiving. He said, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. We rely on a God, the power of God, who can raise the dead. So when you think about your life, you think about what you're doing, you think about what you struggle, you think about the things that are happening in your everyday, your trials and your temptations and your fears and your worries and the losses and the pains and the mistakes that you've made that you wish that you could undo, the difficulties in life. If you're a believer and a follower of Christ, if you have accepted Jesus to come and live inside of you, that same Jesus is the power of God, that same power that looked at a storm and said no, that same power that went to the cross and conquered sin, that went to the cross and Satan thought he was winning, but God said no, and he conquered sin and death. All of that power, as we trust not in ourselves, but in the resurrection power of God, you have that today. You have access to that today. 1 Corinthians 15 says, O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, 13, Jesus says, ask in my name and it will be given to you. That's why we pray, in Jesus' name. Because the power in the prayer is in Jesus' name. You could pray, Father God, da 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 da, as much as you want, and just kind of end with, well, in the name of Muhammad, or in the name of Allah, or in the name of Buddha, or in the name of my great great father-in-law, or you know, whatever it may be, right? Like you can insert any name here, or you can pray in the name of the preacher, or in the name of Billy Graham, or in the name of Mother Teresa, or in the name of this saint or that saint. None of that has any power. Mother Teresa, great woman, amazing, did amazing things, but she was just a woman. Jesus' mother Mary, just a woman, great woman. No praising, no power. The power is in Jesus Christ. The power is in Jesus Christ. It's not in the preacher, it's not in the saint, it's not in the person. It's not in the apostle. I'm not going to pray in the name of Peter. I'm not going to pray in the name of Paul. I'm not going to pray in the name of Mary. I'm not going to pray in the name of Billy Graham. I'm not going to pray and I hope to God you don't pray in the name of me, right? That's not getting you no place. You're doomed, right? You're doomed. Lord, I pray all these things in the name of Pastor Guy. Lord, help you. Lord, help you. We pray in the name of Jesus because that's where power is accessed, and we have power in that today and every day. So my prayer for you is that you will access that power so that you can have victory, so you can live a victorious life. Because God's power lives in Jesus, Jesus lives in you, and by Jesus in your heart, Holy Spirit in my life, we can live the Christian life not in a place where we hope for victory, but from a posture of I'm fighting this spiritual battle from victory. I'm fighting this battle from victory. Not for victory, not in hope of victory, not thinking maybe I'm gonna win, but from a point of victory because I'm praying in Jesus' name and I believe that ultimately he has power over all of creation. And I have power over sin and death and evil, and hate, and trials, and temptations, because Jesus was power enough to be victorious on the cross, to be victorious at the resurrection. We serve the God of power. We serve the God who created all of this. We serve the God who is holding it all together. So access that power. If there's anything that you want to pray about, you want to receive victory from today, the altars are here. The pastors are here, happy to pray with you, happy to believe for you in Jesus' name, that that power will happen today in your life. So won't you pray with me as the worship team comes? Father God, I thank you for the power that we have access to in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you as power, that I could just pray, hey, power. I could just start my prayer with power. I got something to say to you. Hey, power, I want you to move in my life. I thank you, Lord, that we have access to you as power in the name of Jesus. Lord, may we forever be a people who recognize that. May we forever be a people who believe that your power is so much more than we can just put in our box. But you can evoke change, that when we access Jesus, we have the ability to change through Jesus. We have the ability, we have the skills and the resource because Jesus has the skills and the resources. We have the authority because Jesus has the authority. So Lord, may we believe that Jesus can change our situation today. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.